Okay, so how does Parshas Ki Savo begin? Ki Savo El Haaretz. Incredible timing, Gusil Yehuda. V'haya Ki Savo El Haaretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosein Lecha Nachala. When you come to the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you as your inheritance, V'yirishta V'yashavta Ba, and you possess it and you dwell within it. So, what do you need to do? V'lakachta me'reishis kol pri ha'adama. I'm just reading the pesukim. Asher tavi me'artzecha. You need to bring the first fruits. Mitzvah of bikurim. The first fruits from your land. You need to bring them. V'lakachta, you should take them. And you should samta batena. You should place it in a basket. V'halachta elamakom asher yivchar Hashem lokecha l'shaken shemo sham. Bring it to the place where Hashem has chosen to reveal his name, to place his name. Obviously, Beis HaMikdash. Uvasa l'kohen asher yeh b'yamim ahim. You come to the Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash. Va'amarte elav, and you make the following declaration. Igadati hayom l'Hashem elokecha. I declare before Hashem today, ki vasi al aretz asher nishba Hashem l'avosinu l'aseis lanu. Hashem kept his promise, and we're finally living in Eretz Yisrael. We're so happy, we're so thankful. And the Kohen takes the basket, v'lakacha Kohen atanam yadecha, v'hinicho lifnei mizbeach Hashem elokecha. The Kohen takes the basket, he places it down in front of the mizbeach. And then v'anisa v'amarta, you call out and you say, lifnei Hashem elokecha, you make the following further declaration. You say, arami oved avi, an Aramean tried to destroy my father. Usually we assume this is who? This is Lavan's torturous treatment of Yaakov. Vayered Mitzrayim, and eventually we went down to Mitzrayim. Vayagar Sham b'Misei Ma'at. We went down to Mitzrayim, and we were few in number. Vayhi Sham L'Goy Gadol, Atzum V'Rav, and we became an awesome, huge nation there. But we suffered. Vayareyu Osano HaMitzrim. It's a whole speech, you know? Vayanunu, and they afflicted us. Vayitnu Alinu Avod Akasha. And then we cried out to Hashem, Pasuk Zayin, V'nitzakel Hashem Elokei Avoseinu, and Hashem heard our voice, and Hashem saw our suffering, Esam Aleinu, Eslachatzeinu, and Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, B'yad Chazak of Yisro Netuya, with awesome signs and wonders, V'yavienu Elamakom Azeh, and Hashem, you took us to Eretz Yisrael, and you gave us the land, Zavas Chalav Devash, flowing with milk and honey, or according to some, white wine and honey. And now Hashem has a karasatov. I'm coming to bring you what? My first fruits. The very first fruits Asher Nasata Li Hashem. And that's what I'm doing. When you put the fruits down and you bow in the Beis HaMikdash, when you come to Beis HaMikdash, you bow. And then the Pasuk says, V'samachta b'chol atov, Asher Nasam Lecha Hashem Lokecha. Then go enjoy all the produce, all the bounty that Hashem has given you. It's a beautiful recap of all of Jewish history in mitzvahs bikur. Okay, and as we mentioned earlier this week, it's the antithesis of what? At the end of last week's parish, which is Amalek. Amalek is racious Goyim Amalek. They're also first. Right? Bikurim are first, and Amalek is first. Amalek is first to mock and to ridicule and to not respect. And Bikurim is the way that we say, even after all my hard work to produce these fruits, Hashem, it's all yours. And I want to celebrate. I want to celebrate not just the first fruits, but the gift of all of Jewish history, the suffering we went through, but how it made us into the people we are today, all with your guidance, Hashem. Okay. So as we've mentioned, and we're starting to learn a style. We learn a style of a sefer of a tzaddik. The more of a shemesh opens up, often with many questions, and this is no exception. Okay, he basically goes through all of the psukim we just read and asks many, many questions. Roy lasim leib b'parsha zoharbe. We need to think about this parsha a lot. Aleph, number one. Matam mitzvahs bikurim. What's the reason behind mitzvahs bikurim? Again, there's the obvious lesson of hakar satov, of recognizing Hashem. Hagam ki kol mitzvos hashmios heim gzeros hamelech al avadav. Even though, of course, the answer to that question, as I've told you countless times, is what? What's the reason for the mitzvah? Because Hashem said so. Rambam Hilchos Teshuvah Perek Gimel Halacha Daled. Why do we blow a shofar, Jake? Because Hashem said so. And also to wake us up. So the Rebbe says, even though, of course, I know the answer to the question, why do we have mitzvahs bikurim? Because God said so. Im kol zos nachona davar limtzo ta'amim aleim. It's worthwhile to try to find deeper explanations. And he's going to take us very deep. It's a magnificent piece. Gam ma tam amiras arami oved avi b'mitzvah zo yoser b'mitzvah sukkah o tefillin v'tzitzis. You want to tell me that Lavan gave Yaakov a lot of trouble? Okay. And then we went to Mitzrayim, and then we came out, and we got the Torah, and then we came to Eretz Yisrael. So why don't I say that every time I put on my tefillin? Why don't I recount all the Jewish history? You know, there was once a time when Yaakov was struggling, he was in Lavan's house, based Lavan, and there was a lot of deception. Why do I make a Rami Oved Avi, an Aramean, try to destroy my forefathers? Why do I make that declaration here more than by Sukkah, or tefillin, or tzitzis, or anything? The Gamaleim Nemar, Ki Lule Hashem Shahayalanu. Right? Because by those mitzvahs also, if Hashem, I don't know, had Hashem not saved us from Lavan, then we wouldn't have any of these mitzvahs. Bikish, Lavan, Lachar, Asakol. Lavan wanted to destroy the Jewish people. Velohayu ha-mitzvahs miskayimim klal. We wouldn't have anything. So what is it about Bikurim that all of a sudden we become so emotional and we say, Rami Ovid Avi, and say that by every mitzvah. If Lavan kills Yaakov, then there's no anything. And why do we go straight from, you know, it's like a big leap in history. Yaakov Avinu suffered in the house of Lavan, and then we went down to Mitzrayim. We went down to Mitzrayim because of Lavan? I mean, those were not like back-to-back events, exactly. Alo mipnei Lavan yardu avoseinu l'Mitzrayim. So what's that connection? Gam lama mazkir n'yasiyas Mitzrayim esal avaz bikurim. Why do I have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim? How does my understanding of Mitzvahs Bikurim, why does that demand that I recount the story and the struggle of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim? And what does it mean? Gam al vayaras anyenu, Hashem saw our suffering, which we darshan, he says in the Haggadah, zo prishos derech eretz, ve'es amaleinu elu habanim, ve'es lachatzenu zo adchak, all of these drashas that we make in the Haggadah. Right? That Hashem saw our suffering. This refers to Prishos Derech Eretz. This refers to the separation of husband and wife. Ves Ambaleinu. This refers to the children. Es Lachatzenu. This refers to the oppression. Right? All of these drashos. Well, if you drash, zeh bilti muvan. Mahu inyanam lahazkirim etzel bikurim. Why do I have to say? Again, the way the Haggadah learns this pasuk, as it gets into the details of the suffering in Mitzrayim, well, what does that have to do with Bikurim? What does Mitzrayim Bechlal have to do with Bikurim? What are the particular ways that we suffered in Mitzrayim? How is that, again, a manifestation of Mitzvahs Bikurim? V'chol inyanim halalu, shayichim b'shaveh, etzo kol ha-mitzvahs la'azkirim. Again, if I want to talk about Jewish suffering, so I could talk about that by anything. I could talk about it by Shabbos. Talk about it by anything. Pesach, I get it. We use these psukim. But why by Bikurim am I using these psukim? Why do I have to recount the types of suffering we went through in Mitzrayim? Kiyan asher hayinu meshubadim b'koshi ha-shibud. Granted, again, we went through all sorts of pain. V'Hashem b'rachamav hotzi anu me'avdus l'cheiros, and Hashem took us from slavery to freedom. Al kein chova aleinu l'kayim mitzvosov. So leaving Mitzrayim is part of what obligates us in Kol HaTorah Kula. U'manishtana mitzvah sabaz bikurim la'amir azo yosem ikulam. So what is it about Bikurim that all of a sudden we need to make this declaration? Furthermore, a couple more questions. Gam amru va'anisa va'amarta bilti muvan. What's the va'anisa va'amarta? Va'anisa va'amarta I translated as you'll declare and say. You'll proclaim and say. But says the Rebbe, anisa usually means to respond. Is there like is there a give and take here? Is there something responsive that's happening here? I mean, you're giving this long speech recounting Jewish history. Hello, ein lashon ania nofeles rak al tshuvas mishashoel mimenu davar. La'anot means to answer. So, what are you answering here? What was the question? What's the conversation? You hand in the basket to the kohen, and you give this whole long monologue. There's no dialogue here. Gam lashon va'ata hine hevesi, and therefore now I'm bringing my bikurim tzarech bir. I don't understand. What's the va'ata? And now. Because we're in Mitzrayim, and now I'm bringing Bikurim. Because we're in Mitzrayim, and now I'm bringing Bikurim. Sounds like there's a direct connection. Mora Shiripnei Kola Kosov Lamala. It sounds like because of what's mentioned above, Nakir Veneda Shagam Alenu Chova Me'ata Lahavi Bikurim. That, because of Mitzrayim, now we're going to bring Bikurim. What? Why not? Now we're going to work tefillin. Now we're going to sit in the sukkah. V'adayin ein v'yadenu mikol masha v'parsha tama speak lavos bikurim. Well, so what's going on here? I don't understand what the necessity of all of it. Gam roi lizvonin smichas ha-mikros shesamuch l'parsha zu parshas vidoi meiser. And then what comes right after the first 10 psukim in our parsha, 11 psukim in our parsha? Then it talks about vidoi meiser, confession of what? That I paid up all of my maisros, all of my debts. I distributed all of my maaser to the Levi, to the Ani. I took my maaser sheni to Yerushalayim. Everything as you asked of me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not again. The pashup shot is, well, Bikurim is giving a portion of your produce, and maaser is also giving various portions of your produce. That's the obvious connection. But he wants to understand something more. And then lastly, right after Vidoy Meiser, the very next parasha is Hayom Azeh Hashem Elokecha Mitzavcha Lasos Esachuka Me'ila V'Esamishpatim V'Shamarta V'Asisa Osam B'Chol Levavcha V'Chol Nafshecha. And then the next thing is like, you know, and on this very day, Hashem commanded you to keep all the Torah, which we spoke about in the Ramban. What do you mean this very day? We've been keeping Torah for 40 years. So again, what's the Vidoy Meiser connection? What's the Hayom Azeh Hashem Elokecha Mitzavcha? What's the lashon hayom hazeh? Today, all of us, today we're commanded. No, we're not. So what's going on? Rashi explains. Rashi's al pirish al pi ma'im rechazal. Rashi, whenever he sees the word hayom, Rashi says, you know, Torah should be fresh. Shebechol yom yiyu be'enecha kichadashim. Torah should always be fresh in your eyes. V'adayin yesh lezbonin al smichas mikrozeh. But again, I don't really get the flow of our psukim. Lemasha lefanenu. How does it fit with that which is before it? We sefer Mishnah Torah lekuli alma darshinan smuchin. And we have a rule that in sefer Devarim, it's not always true. Not everyone agrees that's true in all of the Torah, but in Devarim, everyone agrees that there's a flow to the parshios. So we're entitled to ask, what's the smichas of parshios? How do these things relate to one another? Gam lemala pirish Rashi adam yored lesof sadeu. Rashi furthermore explains, how do you actually do bikurim? A person goes down to his field. V'roa te'ena shebichra. And what does he see? What does he see in his field? He sees a beautiful te'ena that's starting to blossom, starting to grow. His first fruits. Korich ala gemi. He ties around it a little string. V'omer harei zo bikurim. He marks the first fruits. So because at some point the tree is going to be full. How do you identify the first ones? Okay, so this is a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in the third parak of Bikurim. You go to your field, and you mark the fruits as they emerge. Yesh lahavin lama bachar b'lashono b'te'ena yosem b'kol shiva saminim shechayev as Bikurim. Why start with te'ena? Interesting. When Chazal were picking the fruit that they were going to use to describe Bikurim, and they say you go down to your field, why does it say you go to your field and you find you find the fruit that starts to blossom? Why did they pick te'ena? Is the example of a first fruit. Interesting. Very interesting. Gam lama yechvach alei gemi ve'esa. Why do I have to tie either a little string or thread or a piece of grass around them? Halo tov haya lechvach alei meshicha shehu chazak yoser v'lo yimot. Why am I tying it with something that's so, you know, tie a rope around it? I don't know. Why am I tying? Gemi is just like something very, you know, thin and fragile. Shouldn't I not be nervous that maybe the string's going to pop off as the fruit continues to grow? And lastly, gam nasim lev le'itor bikurim alma hayuban. Lastly, if you've learned Mishnayis Bikurim, we know that in addition to bringing the first fruits, they would decorate the baskets with additional fruits, and sometimes even additional things, such as birds. They would tie birds to the basket, and they would offer karbanos when they brought their first fruits. So what's the inyan? Why dafka is there this like hiddur mitzvah by Bikurim that we make it so beautiful? And again, if you've never learned the third parak of Bikurim, it's a beautiful project for this Shabbos, Parshas Kisavo. It's beautiful. It's a story. It just tells the story of Jews bringing their first fruits and how they would sleep in the street. And they would come up, they'd gather together, everyone would be mechazik each other, they'd come to Yerushalayim, and the people in Yerushalayim would stand up for them when they would come in. That's the source that you're supposed to, the Bartanura. In his commentary on the Mishnah, he says that's the source that you stand up for someone who's performing a mitzvah. question, why do we stand up for a chasan? Why do we stand up for a chasan at the wedding? Right? So most people think, because chasan doma lamelech. Because it says in the Medrash, in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, that a chasan's like a king. You would stand for the honor of the king. No, you're standing for a chasan because he's on his way to perform a mitzvah. Some explain that that's why in Psukei Dezimra we stand up where we stand up. Because the point where we stand up in Psukei Dezimra after the Halukas, right, is also a time when people sometimes give tzedakah. You know about that? It says in your little Archul Siddur, right? What's the connection? The connection, some explain, is that when the Gabbai Tzedakah comes around with his pushka connecting tzedakah, he's doing a mitzvah, and there's an obligation to what? To stand up for a person who's doing a mitzvah. So we stand up for the person doing a mitzvah. But it's beautiful. When they come from Yerushalayim, schlepping their baskets of fruit, right, everyone in Yerushalayim would stand up and give a round of applause, you know? Yeah.
So why are we sitting right now?
Why are we sitting right now?
Yes.
So the Gemara says in Megillah, in the olden days, people would only stand when learning Torah. And then the generation got weak. So he said, you want to stand? You can stand. Anyone who's tired is welcome to stand. Or anyone who feels that I'm engaged in the mitzvah, I should be standing. I'm standing for all of you. Standing when I see Talmidim doing a mitzvah, learning Torah, it makes me want to stand. Okay, good. So we have a lot of questions.
We're at like 72 questions.
Yeah, we got a ton of questions. But he's gonna make a beautiful. We're gonna learn. We're going back to Gan Eden, friends. Okay, we're starting from the beginning. With a var called Zanamar. So to explain all of this, let's see. Kihinei Hashem Yisbarach Habara Olamo Lichvodo. Hashem made the world for His honor. Or the more I start to understand as life goes on the word kavod, I've told you that the word kavod means essence. Right? Because it's a hard pasuk. Hashem made the world for His honor. It sounds very self-centered. Now God's entitled to do whatever He wants. He deserves all the honor. Right? But when the pasuk says Hashem made the world for His honor, so maybe He made the world to manifest His essence is even a better way to translate it. And maybe we're more comfortable with that also. Because it just makes Hashem sound less, you know, Hashem needs the world for His honor. He needs the world because He wants to be Megala His essence to the world. She is farsim elukuso yisbarach shemo l'chol bayolam. Hashem wants, there should be a piercing of elukos. Yeah? Like pirsumei nisam. There should be a revelation, there should be a spreading of godliness to all who live in the world. V'tziva la'am kurovo Torah u'mitzvos asher yaseh osama adam v'chai v'hem. And He commanded His beloved people, Torah and mitzvos, by which we live meaningful lives. And again, it's through Torah and mitzvos that we draw close to Hashem and we cling to Hashem. Amnam, however, lo tikon ha-Torah v'havoda amitis, rak kishi yizdachei ha-odem t'chila nafsho ha-bahamis ha-misave. But friends, there's something that sometimes gets in between me and Hashem. It's very hard to come to true avodas Hashem, he says, until a person is first yizdachich, Shem and Zayah Zach, until he purifies himself first from his animalistic desires. It's hard to draw close to Hashem. It's hard to really attach myself to Hashem when I'm still attached to other things, to lower things. Ki kol od shelo tir gufo vizichich oso min achumrius. And again, we have to learn this on our level. We're not ready to be tzaddikim who are totally parish from olam haza. But to the degree that we're obsessed with physicality, we're obsessed with money, we're obsessed with food, we're obsessed with taivas olam haza, it's hard for us to have the emotional energy and the spiritual drive to be close to Hashem. So to the degree that a person is metahir his guf and purifies his physicality, or to the degree that he has not yet done that, odenu hu shakul bepeles maznayim. So he's caught, peles maznayim means he's caught in the balance. That what? That sometimes, pam yigbar sichlo al choymer v'yasa mitzvah, sometimes his seichel will control his body, will control his physicality, and he'll do the mitzvah. But sometimes, no, his yetzahara wins. Upam hu lehefechas v'shalom. But sometimes his taiva for gashmias dominates his ruchnias. Lachain kola adam haba lichnos with pesach avodas Hashem. So a person who wants to be able to really connect and feel what it's like, what does it really mean to be davuk to Hashem? What does it mean to get something to cling to something else? Right? it's hard to make the parts attach. If one of the parts is covered in rust, so it's hard to get the pieces to fit together properly. So if I want to really attach myself to Hashem, tzarech tchila lahadiach mikirbo, giul zuamas hanachash hakadmoni. I need to get the filth of the nachash from Gan Eden out of me, because that's where it all began. Hashem made Adam yashar. Hashem made each one of us straight, yashar, pure, holy. Elokai neshama shenasata bi tahorehi. But the nachash, whatever happened with Adam Rishon, we're going to get into that sugya right now, right? Put a certain yitzhar inside of me. Put a certain filth inside of me, and I have to try to remove that to get back to the natural, pure state of an Adam who recognizes his Creator. Asher mitzido ha-Adam chomein u-mis'ava lehevle ha-olam. It was that poison that the nachash implanted within a person that gives one a desire and a drive for the foolishness of the world. And all of the gashmias dika taivas. Zuhama means dirty, filthy. This filth, this poison of the nachash, bala adam al yidei chet adam arishon. When did Adam get poisoned? By not listening to Hashem in Gan Eden. By eating from the tree. By giving into a taiva. Now, listen carefully. Yinei b'chet adam arishon nechlechu chazal b'prato mahaya. It's a machlokas in Chazal. What was the chet of Adam Rishon? Umehem amru, and there are those who say that what went wrong really was sheikar hachet haya al yedei shemiher lehizdavig kodem Shabbos. Some say that Adam's mistake was that what? That he was engaged in zivugim, he was engaged in intimacy with Chava before Shabbos. Some say that the tree that was off limits was supposed to actually become available to Adam HaRishon to eat on Shabbos, but he jumped the gun. Or as Rashi says, when the Nachash saw Adam and Chava being intimate together and he was jealous and he wanted to get involved in the relationship, and he did so by messing up their lives, right? So there are those who say that Adam, the way that the Gemara says that a Talmud Chacham should be with his wife on Friday night, that's the time for a Talmud Chacham to be with his wife. It's a time of yichud, of intimacy and closeness. So Adam Rishon jumped the gun. He was nizdavig with Chava kodem Shabbos. Shebeim hayimamtin liyom haShabbos, because if he would have, again, engaged with Chava, if he would have eaten from the tree after he had been given permission, Hashem put it, it was a special Shabbos food, you know? Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I made this tree L'chavet Shabbos Kodesh, and on Erev Shabbos he decided not just to taste the potato kugel, you ate the whole potato kugel. Right? Tasting the potato kugel, you know, that's the holy thing. But if you eat all the Shabbos food before Shabbos, you have like, you know, if you're like, I don't know, part of that chevra that like has like a whole suda on Erev Shabbos, like Erev Shabbos Kiddush, and then like, they're not hungry for the suda on Shabbos, and then chaval, then that's not the mitzvah. So if he would have waited, lo hayo makom l'sitra de misava l'isachis, well, if he would have waited, then the sitra achra wouldn't have been able to grab onto him. But he jumped the gun. Listen carefully. Amnam hakol holech al makom echad v'hayoytzi midivrayim. But the bottom line is, whether it was eating the tree prematurely or being intimate with Chava prematurely, the bottom line is, Adam ruined himself by not having patience. Underline these next couple of words. Sha'achet haya al yedei shemir lamalos tavaso, by not delaying the taiva, by giving in right now, because my taiva and my body says it wants right now. Yad Vashem says no. Yeah, but I want it now. So by giving in to that, mitzad hasasos hanachash kodem zmano, by being seduced by the nachash to act prematurely, that ruined everything. That ruined everything. There's a big mussar in there. Lezeh amru Chazal, al Chava shesochta anavim. That's what Chazal say, that it was Chava who what? Who squeezed the grapes. According to one opinion, the Eitz Hadas, right, was grapes. So Chava was the one who sochta anavim. She squeezed the grapes. What does that mean? Ramzu bezeh sheochla paga kodem zmano mitzad hataiva. She ate, paga means she ate the unripened grapes. She ate from the tree prematurely, motivated by taiva. Kamaimra kasim, as the pasuk says, ki tova eitz l'machal She saw that the tree looked good for eating. And it was a desire for the eyes. And because of this, death was brought to the world as a punishment. And Adam is told, "Ki afar ata vel afar tashur. You come from the dust, and you'll go back to the dust." Because of the poison, again, that permeated Adam through this avera, it's impossible for a person in their lifetime to be entirely removed from physicality. Because we submitted ourselves to Gashmias. Had Adam not made that mistake, we'd be in control. But when Adam made himself subservient to his taivas, so even the biggest tzaddikim who go their whole life and get to 99.9% of ridding themselves of taivas olam haza, but it's impossible without death to fully separate. And that's what death is. Death is that tikkun. Death becomes the tikkun, the cleansing of the body. Raka yidei kvura, that through burial, sha'al yadda yis'achal ha'basar ha'bahamios, when the body decomposes, so then a person's neshama is able to get back to being entirely pure. V'yu nakiyah mikol sig l'tchiyas ha'mesim. And then, you're freed from any impurity, and tchiyas ha'mesim will be rebuilt the way that Adam HaRishon was. V'zeu inyun chibot ha'kever. This is the idea that the Svarim talk about called Chibut HaKever, Lahafrid Zuamas HaNachash Mei Adam, to get the poison out of the Nachash, out of Adam. V'chait Adam HaRishon Garam Lavoseinu Sheyardu L'Mitzrayim. And now the Rebbe makes a big shift. The Rebbe says, and by the way, if you know the Sugi well, what was the point of Mitzrayim? Mitzrayim was also part of the Tikkun of Adam HaRishon. Because when Adam HaRishon sinned, he shattered the world. He caused the world to come crashing down. And many holy sparks were scattered, many of them to a low place called Mitzrayim. And the avoda of the Jewish people was to go down into Mitzrayim, even to the 49th level of Tumah, to go into the deepest, darkest places to retrieve those holy sparks, and to retrieve the Nitotos HaKadoshos Shenaflu B'Kufla Mitzshana Shepirish Adam HaRishon Michava. And as Chazal tell us, right, for 130 years, Adam HaRishon separated from his wife Chava, and he went through all sorts of sexual struggles at that time, and a lot of damage was caused in the world. And part of going to Mitzrayim, Erev Asa Aretz, going to a place, a sexually immoral capital of the world, Mitzrayim, was part of the tikkun of Adam HaRishon, to allow us to come to Har Sinai. And if not for Chet HaEgel, by the way, we would have been fixed. Chet HaEgel messed the whole thing up again. But we were back on track. Right? Mitzrayim was the cleansing of this process. Okay? So listen. Let's get back to Bikurim now. V'zeu inyin ha-galus v'shibud malchios. So friends, this is the inyin of going to Galus. This is the inyin of suffering in exile. As the Gemara says in Brachos, Mashal of a ben melech shatala lo kis shal dinarin al tzavaro mayasa ben shalo yechta. The Gemara in Brachos says, imagine a king takes his son, the prince, and he ties a kis shel dinarin al tzavaro, he puts a money pouch around his neck, and he dresses him in fine clothing, the Gemara says, and he sprays him with sweet-smelling cologne, and he looks, makes his hair all nice, and he gives him a lot of money, he dresses him up really well, and he drops him off right outside a place of prostitution. Says, be a good boy. So what does the Gemara say? Ma yasa ben shalo yachta. Are you crazy? You set the kid up to fail. How could you do that? You set him up for all the taivas. You gave him the financial means to do it. You put him in that spot. And you said, behave yourself. It's impossible. That's the mashal of the Gemara and Brachos. What about the opposite? What about when the father, the melech, is trying to help his son to improve? Sometimes when the father wants the son, right, to learn, you know, real life lessons, right, that he shouldn't what? You think you're the prince, you can do whatever you want? You think because you're so rich and because you have access to things, you can do whatever you want? The king says, what does it mean to be a king? You're going to be the king one day. What does it mean to be a king? He says to his son, the prince, did you not study the Ibn Ezra and Parshas Naso? His son says, I don't know what you're talking about. He says, Ibn Ezra and Parshas Naso, the Nazir. the Nazir, whose hair is described as a crown. The Nazir is like a king. So he says, but Dad, the Nazir is the one who swears off wine. The Nazir is the one who takes on extra restrictions. His father says, yeah, that's what it means to be a king. Being on top doesn't mean you do whatever you want. It means you carry yourself to a higher standard. So he says to his son. So if the father, the king, wants to teach his son, the prince, that he shouldn't just go after the taivas of his heart. So he might send him to boot camp. He sends him off to people, to unrefined people. He puts him in the presence of, well, you know, a drill sergeant. Shall yidei ol hashibur va'avoda, by getting him working hard, yishaber ta'avoso v'te'ariv l'nafsho acherka. He says, look at me. Look at my dad's making me a rank and file soldier who's being whipped into shape. Why is my dad doing that? I'm from the royal family. Because I don't know what it means to be royalty. I think royalty is just like fun and games. It's a privilege. It's not a privilege, it's a responsibility. So after working hard, when he comes back, he says, now I want to live a refined life, the way a prince is supposed to live. And therefore, after working hard in Mitzrayim, we became what? We became the royal family. We left Mitzrayim with rechush gadol, with great possessions. Not only the physical money we took out of Mitzrayim, obviously, but nitzotzos hakadoshos. We retrieve the fallen sparks of Adam HaRishon from Mitzrayim. V'holchu achar kach l'midbar arbayim shana. And then we entered into the Midbar, which superficially was the scariest place, but for us, because we had refined ourselves so much, we lived in the Midbar, this exalted life. V'achlu asaman kol arbayim shana. L'man yizdachu yosef. We had a special diet to refine the body. We were becoming princes. We were becoming the royal family. So now, listen carefully. V'zos hi ha'avdus ha'ikari b'chol ha'adam. As we've seen many times now. This is the ikar. The main thing. All right, as Jack told us, everything is the main thing if you're focusing on it. Lahag bir sichlo al nafsho ha'misaveh. The Baba Cherubi spoke about this all the time. That a person should be able to what? That his ruchnias should dominate his chumrias. That his nefesh should dominate his guf. To be able to what? To elevate his seicha, which means his soul, al nafsho hamisava, over his natural urges. Ulakadish atzmo gam b'mutar lo. To say, just because it's mutar doesn't mean that it's good for me. To sanctify himself, even that which is permissible. Lavalia lohut acher hataiva. However, in one sentence, the lesson that we're trying to learn today is, what does it mean to be a person of self-control? What does it mean to be a person who's patient? In the Eretz Tzvi, I'm just remembering now, the Sefer Eretz Tzvi, not Rav Shechter Sefer, it's Eretz HaTzvi. In the Eretz Tzvi, the Kadosh Glover Gong. If you want to see him, go to the library, go to the fifth floor, right outside the elevator, there's a picture of him. Rav Aryeh Tzvi Frommer. Hashem should avenge his blood. The Nazis killed him. Yimach Shemo. Nazis Yimach Shemo V'Zichrom. Yimach Shemo V'Zichrom. So the Eretz Tzvi writes, I think it's a parsha of Vayetzai. He says that, I believe it was the Rebbe of Vorki, had someone who worked for him. So it's a very powerful story. The Rebbe of Vorki had a fellow who worked in his home. And the Rebbe of Vorki wanted to buy his worker a nice gift. And he saw that his worker had ripped shoes. So he wanted to buy him a nice new pair of shoes. And the Rebbe of Vorki, every month, was putting aside a little bit of extra money. Keeping it, he kept it in a, you know, in his Rebbe's desk drawer. He had a little pouch, and he kept money in this pouch, which he was putting aside to save up so that he could buy a nice pair of shoes for his worker. Nuchever, what happened? One day the worker's in the Rebbe's office, you know, cleaning up a little bit, taking out the garbage. He looks in the drawer, what does he see? He sees the money, and he can't resist, and he steals it. And the Rebbe of Vorki figured out what happened, and he says to him, you fool, it was for you. You took it prematurely, it was yours. It was supposed to be yours. You would have had it. That money was yours, I was going to give you that money, I was going to buy you the shoes. But now I have to take back the money, I have to fire you. Throw you out of my house, you're a ganav. It would have been, if you would have just been patient, it would have been yours. There's so many things in this world that Hashem says, if you take it in the right time, It's a mitzvah. It's holy. Purposeful. If you take it prematurely, you destroy the world. You destroy your world. That's what Adam Rishon did. Adam Rishon ate from the tree prematurely. Adam Rishon was intimate with Chava prematurely. Right? So don't be subservient to your taiva. Use seichel to say, hold on, everything in the right time. Everything in the right place. Everything in the right context. V'chol davar asher his'av en nafsho afilu davar hamutar. And therefore, when you want something, even if it's permissible, you have to ask yourself, but is this right for now? Is this help me right now? Roy v'nachon shiarchikenu kedei l'shaber tavaso. Sometimes, just practice saying no, because there are going to be things that are not for now. Then you look at something and say, what do you mean? What's the problem? This is allowed. This is kosher. This is reasonable. What's the problem? Why can't I take this right now? Sometimes, says the Rebbe, practice breaking your taiva, because there are going to be times when you really want it, and the answer is, it's not halachically permissible. It's not okay. V'lo yochlen obeis tavaso. This is, by the way, a tremendous technique in Avodas Hashem. The Michta Mi'aliyah, Rav Dessler, talks about this in his Sefer. He says one of the greatest techniques we can use to defeat the Yetzirah is sometimes just to push it off a little bit. Say to your Yetzirah, when your Yetzirah says, I want to do this Avera right now, say to the Yetzirah, fine, we'll do it, just not now. Give me an hour. Give me 5 minutes. Let's talk about it in 5 minutes. I just got to go for a quick 5-minute walk. When I get back, we'll talk about this Avera. And sometimes, once you go for a 5-minute walk, then, you know, the Yetzirah forgets about it. You forget about it. Push it off. Say, I'll do it. Tell you that I'll do it. Just not, you need a few more minutes. It's an incredible technique. V'yidei zehu mafrid me'atzmo chalazu masanachash. By doing this, every time we push off that taiva, and we say that we're not subservient to the nachash hakadmoni, we remove ourselves from that illness, from the filth of the nachash. U'metakein chet adam arishon. So now, friends, you're a farmer. You're a farmer. And you take great pride in your work. And now your trees that you've been so carefully planting and watering and tending to are starting to blossom. And you see, my first fruits. My first fruits. Right? I cannot wait to taste my first fruits. No, what does the Torah say? Bikurim. Practice. The rest of the tree is yours. Practice reminding yourself that the first ones are for Hashem. Train yourself. This is part of the tikkun of Adam HaRishon. V'zeutah mitzvah savas bikurim. Ki miteva Adam. This is the reason behind the mitzvah bikurim. Because it's the nature of a person. Miteva Adam mitzad chumriyuso v'napsho habahamis. Be'es yira. When he sees bikura b'terem kayitz. When he sees those first fruits. Which he works so hard. Right? His ishtadlus. B'derach ha-teva. He works so hard to produce those fruits. And he looks at them. Ba'avas nafsho v'chamdaso v'godot ha-avaso. And he wants so badly just to be able to enjoy them. Hashem says, but I'm going to bring you to Eretz Yisrael now. And being an Eretz Yisrael, a Jew, you know, coming back to Eretz Yisrael after Mitzrayim is mamash like going back to Gan Eden. So don't make the same mistake of Adam Rishon who jumped the gun. I'm bringing you to a land of beautiful, desirable things. The physical beauty of Eretz Yisrael. Dvarim shenafsho adam machmadasa. Things that a person's soul desires. Yismashchu chas v'shalom acharei tavasam. So Hashem was nervous. We're going to be moishach. We're going to be drawn after our taivos. V'yachsar adava l'kil kulo. And we're going to end up ruining Eretz Yisrael the same way we ruined Gan Eden. Akein gazar omer shiachs mutavasa. Therefore, Hashem said, you need to muzzle your taiva. You need to hold back your taiva. V'te'ena v'rimon ha'mizbachim t'chila yimshoch yodem mehem. And those first fruits, when you see those first figs, and you see those first pomegranates, and they look so sweet and juicy, hold back your hand. U've'ez tigboris yikud tevaris ha'taiva, and as that fire of desire is burning, raging inside you, asher miteva ha'odam, shebedavar ha'mizbacher, right? This fruit is first starting to emerge. It's been a long time since I had this fruit. It's a new season. It's fresh fruits. He wants it so bad. It's been so long. I've been waiting for this fruit. I just can't wait. Az mitzvah mipi hagvura sheyimshol barucho v'al kavir tavasa. The Torah says, no. Show that you have something even stronger than that desire, and that's your neshama. V'achnia yitzro, subdue your yitzhara, lishmur ha-prihahu la-Hashem, l'shem Hashem yisbach. Save that first fruit for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. La'alosa l'makom asher bachar ala kohen. Bring it to the desirable place of Hashem. Bring it to the kohen, whose mishari is dar ma'on, hayodea l'halos ha-nitzotas ha-kadoshim. Take it to the Rebbe. Watch how tzaddik eats the fruit. Bring it to a kohen. Bring it to Beis HaMikdash. Right? Eat it l'shem shamayim. Don't just eat it as, it tastes so good. It's so tasty. It's so gishmak. So now we understand. Now we're starting to understand. He says, "V'zeu ramzu chazal." This is what Chazal were telling us in the Mishnah. Adam yored l'soch sadehu. Person goes down to his field. V'roa te'ina shebichra. Korech aleha gemi. He sees the first fruits are starting to grow, and he ties a thin little string around it. Ve'uro, the explanation is kumaduma li sheshamanuhu me'admor harav akadosh rabban shalkol b'nei agola. I heard it from the Rebbe of all Rebbes, my Rebbe Rebbe Elimelech of Lizhansk. Zecher tzadim kadosh levracha. Sha'odam hayored letoch sadehu v'roa te'ina shebichra v'nafsho chomendes la'ochla. A person goes down to his field and he sees that te'ina blossoming and he wants so badly to eat it. Right? And there's this burning desire. Tavares tavaso tukad bekirbo. There's this burning fire of desire inside of him. What does he need to do? Yichroch aleha gami. Tie a little string around it. Even a little string. You're able to tie a big rope around it. Kol hakavod. But like I told you before, even to tie a little string around it. Even to say, hold on, I'm gonna, a little bit of self control here. A little bit of try to hold it back a little bit. Right? Tie it up. Say, I'm not going to be bottled to you. Remind yourself, hold on a second. I'm going to take a little gami, could be literally a reed. You take a piece of grass and you tie it up. You tie it around this fruit. What am I reminding myself? I'm reminding myself that guess what? I'm gonna be reduced to dirt and grass one day. This big healthy body one day is gonna be what? It's gonna be back in the earth. It's gonna be in the field. Umachar yalu asavmu desham alechyam. Right? Eventually you're gonna be sprouting grass. Va'almazen nigzer alaguf shi'as bala ba'afar. If lo machves chet al demishon. Then ask yourself, well, why is that? Why did Hashem make me and then I should have to die and go back? I come from the dust and I go back to the dust. Why did Hashem even make me? If not to be metaki v'chet of adam rishon. To try to be a little bit more in control. Shahaisa al yadei shenota acharei ha-taiva. Adam Rishon, who messed up by pursuing and giving it to the taiva immediately because he wanted it, so he took it right away. V'garma al yadei zesh in his davig bo v'zar achrav chalazum as nachash akadmoni. And he brought this poison of the filth of the nachash akadmoni upon all future generations. And the only way to get rid of it, sheyef shal afrid, though, is what? Imlo al yadei miso kvur, I have to die in order to get it out of my system. So now I have a chance to once again go down to a beautiful tree that Hashem has blessed me with. Right? So a little self-control. And by doing this, by tying up that fruit, by showing that self-control, by throwing down that taiva to show that I'm not subservient to you, you're subservient to my neshama. By showing Hashem what? I don't need to wait till I die to get the poison of the nachash out of my body, out of my system. I can make good choices when I'm alive. I'm not going to be drawn after. I'm not going to be, again, enslaved to whatever tastes good, whatever looks good. And therefore, says our Rebbe, so why is the first fruit on the list a te'ena? Because even though the Gemara in Brachos, on Daf Mem, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Daf Ayin, I believe, tells us that there are three possibilities. What the fruit? What was the Eitz Hadas? What was it? It was either Te'ena, or Gefen, was grapes. I told you, according to some, he was supposed to take those grapes when Shabbos came and made that first cup of Kiddush on those grapes. Or it was what? Gefen, Te'ena, or? The Medrash says Esrog. Chita, wheat. Those are the three possibilities. But there's something in the pasuk that indicates to us that it was Te'ena. What is it? That after Adam and Chava realized what? That they were naked in the garden. Right, what did they take? They took fig leaves. And Rashi says in Chumash, why did they take fig leaves? Because the same thing that they sinned with, they tried to be metakin with. So why does the Mishnah Bikurim say you're going to go down to your field, you're going to see, ta'ina, and it's going to be so tempting, but this time get it right. Bikurim is a tikkun for Adam Rishon. It's gavaldik. Chazal were very precise. The Mishnah Bikurim, Perek Gimel Mishnah Aleph, it chose a fig for a reason. Because the Gemara tells us Te'ena was the fruit of Adam Rishon. As Rashi explains on the Pasuk, the Yisru Ale Te'ena, they girded themselves with what? With leaves of the Te'ena. Bidara Shekilkulu Bonitaknu. The thing that they messed up with is the thing that they're fixed with. And now we're starting to understand what's the inyan of Itur Bikurim? We ask the question, why is it, you read the Mishnah, it talks about beautifying the Bikurim. There's like a hider mitzvah by Bikurim. Try to make it extra beautiful. V'zehu gam kein tam itur Bikurim beperos me'osu amin ha'yoser yafim. Take your finest, your most beautiful fruits and add them to your basket. It's a chumrah, you don't have to do it, but it's a nice thing to do. And Klal Yisrael did it. Namely what? Take your best fruits and give those over to Hashem. See how far you can go. How much am I prepared to sacrifice for Hashem? How much am I willing to give of my greatest taivas to give them up for something even greater? So my battle against the Yetzer Hara can be even that much more pronounced. And my dedication to Hashem can be that much more impressive. Shagam shem non biyosa, that even though they're so beautiful, im kol zeh kovish tavaso umoshel berucho, he's in control of his spirit. Mitchilas likitaso ad shiavim lebesa bechira. Take some of those fruits on the road. By the way, with the Itur Bikurim, you could rationalize, you could say to yourself, you know what? I don't technically need to bring these fruits, and I'll end up eating them on the way to the Beis HaMikdash. So it's almost like, if you're really up for the challenge, take a little extra fruit. And see if you can make it all the way to Beis HaMikdash without breaking. See if you can do it. And that's why he says, like I told you, what does it say in the Mishnah? The Jewish people would meet up, they would sleep in the street. They would have these big, you know, pajama parties in the street. Everyone would sleep in the public square. Why? Why can't I go rent a nice little private room in a motel? Because what's going to happen if I'm in that private room in the motel? I'll come to eat the fruit prematurely. That a person shouldn't break from the ranks to give into the taiva. When he's all alone on a business trip, you know, in some shady little part of the world, and no one's around, and no one sees what he's doing. Right? Can he control himself? Can he control his taivas? So the Jews, they mechazik each other. Let's stay together. Let's all sleep. Let's all camp out with our fruit baskets in the middle of the town and talk about how excited we are to make it to Beis HaMikdash. Be mechazik each other. Right? We can do this. We can go all the way. We can get there. We can make sure that everything is done the way Hashem wants it to be done. And therefore, if we've traveled this far, we've worked so hard. U'mashal barucham v'sivlu ta'avasam at shabau el Beis HaMikdash. Right? They control themselves all the way till they come to Beis HaMikdash. If you make it to Beis HaMikdash, if you say, I'm going to conquer this taiva, and I'm going to make it all the way to Beis HaMikdash, I'm not going to break my taiva somewhere, that commitment, I'm not going to break it somewhere along the way. You know what happens when you come to Yerushalayim? What did I tell you? What does the Mishnah say? As b'boam Yerushalayim, kol ba'alei ha'um nios hayu omdim mipneyem. All of the workers of Yerushalayim, the Mishnah says, they stand up. People stand up. So this guy carrying, what are they standing on? This guy carrying a fruit basket. No, this is a guy who's being metaken chet adam rishon. And the streets are lined with people. Round of applause as they come up with their fruit baskets. Look at you, wow. You brought it. You didn't steal any of those first fruits, but look how good they look. I know, but I want, it's not for me, it's for Hashem. Machmas shekidshu as atzman b'chol oso ha-toyrech l'zache chumriusam. Look how hard they work to be able to bring these first fruits all the way to Yerushalayim Yer Kodesh. So now let's come back to just a couple more of our questions for just a couple more minutes. Right? We started off by saying, Va'amarta lifnei Hashem lokeh, va'anisa va'amarta, proudly declare before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the pshat? V'lachein amar akasu va'anisa va'amarta lifnei Hashem lokecha. Bi'uro, the explanation is, Acher shetana es atzmecha v'tachsom tavascha. Since you afflicted yourself, v'aniso, is with suffering, with pain, you're able to declare before Hashem. This wasn't easy to get these fruits to Yerushalayim. It was hard. I had this burning taiva inside of me. And they said no to the Yitzhar. It was very hard, but Hashem, I want to say something. I want to tell you how I made it to Yerushalayim and why I did this. V'aniso v'amarta lefnei Hashem lokecha. With pain in my heart, I say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I held back. As tavin godel milas his dachus achomer. And now I'm standing in Beis HaMikdash. And you know what? As much as I really wanted that taiva, this feels so much better. This closeness to you, Hashem, feels so much better. And I want to start by saying thank you, Hashem. Like the Gemara says in Sukkah, El Mali Hashem Ozo, the Yitzhara is so powerful. If Hashem doesn't help us, we'll never defeat the Yitzhara. So even though it was my own, you know, superhuman effort to make it to Yerushalayim, but Hashem, I want to say thank you for allowing me to reach this level of Dveikus Hashem, of making it to Yerushalayim with my first fruits intact. V'tomar lifnei Hashem, Arami Oved Avi. Chaver, what do we say the Pshat was? Who's Arami Oved Avi? And I say the Pshat according to some Pshat, right? Some say it's not loving at all, it's tested with Avraham. Avram was from Aram, so the Arami is Avraham. Okay, look in the Rashbam, you look in the Mefarshim on Chumash. But we usually assume Arami Oved Avi, Lavan tried to destroy Yaakov. Why is he called an Arami? Milashon Ramai, he's a trickster. No, it says the Morvah Shemesh, who's Arami Oved Avi? Who's the trickster who nearly destroyed the father of us all? The Nachash that got Adam HaRishon, the first father, the father of all humanity. Arami Oved Avi, Rami is l'Nachash, Rama, the trickster of a Nachash, the Nachash HaKadmoni, Shabikish La'aved as Avi HaRishon, who Adam HaRishon? The snake in Gan Eden told Adam HaRishon, how could you possibly resist? Who could say no? Avi Kol Boy Olam, the father of all of humanity, B'mashehishi Eschav Alecho Meitadas, by enticing and seducing Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Now we're understanding the Pesukim. We asked the question. What does a Rami Oved Avi have to do with going down to Mitzrayim? We went from Beis Lavan, we didn't go straight to Mitzrayim. No. Because of what happened in Gan Eden when the Nachash tricked Adam HaRishon, the place of Tikkun was going to be what? To get back the fallen sparks, the ones that fell even into the darkest places, even into Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, which is Erev Asa Aretz, Mitzrayim, which is a place of taiva, real taiva. So therefore, we needed to go down to Mitzrayim l'takin chayit Adam HaRishon. L'zache chumriyusam l'hoitzi misham nitzotos ha-kadoshos shenaflu l'sham. To get back all of what? Those fallen sparks that fell there. V'yihi sham l'goy gadol atzim v'rav. And in Mitzrayim, what? Shechein also b'yadam shotiyu nitzotos harbi ma'od. And we became great in Mitzrayim. It was hard. Like the mashal we gave earlier of the king who sends his son to boot camp. So you can understand, being a melech means being in control. Every one of us is a ben melech. That doesn't mean we do whatever we want. The opposite. That means we have to carry ourselves with the greatest, utmost dignity of humanity. We were afflicted there as a means of purifying ourselves. The suffering of Mitzrayim was what? Was a refining process. Like the refinement of silver. Right? In the pot of the smith. Shal yedezen nishbar koach ta'avasam. Because in Mitzrayim, think about it. In Mitzrayim, we were reduced to what? To the very basics. Right? Even the matzah, which we may have eaten in Mitzrayim, is there a simpler food than matzah? We think we ate the matzah on the way out of Mitzrayim, but holach ma'anyo diachalu avasana bi'ar the Mitzrayim. This is the matzah that our ancestors ate in Mitzrayim also. Right, so we reduce to very simple basics. When we talk about what? The precious derech eretz, hashlachas habanam liyor, godel hadchak. We talk about all the pressure we went through in Mitzrayim. And therefore, now that I've learned this lesson, so now I'm ready to what? Now I'm ready to bring my bikur. And that's the va'ata hinei avesi. Now here I am bringing my bikur. And then after that, what's next? What did we say was the parsha right after that? We asked the question, what comes right after Bikurim? Vidoy Meiser. Vida Maisar, what's the connection? It's the same thing. Vida Maisar, I have all this produce. First give to the Kohen, give to the Levi, give to the Ani. Maisar Sheni, take it to Yerushalayim, eat it before, eat it in Yerushalayim, eat it in a place of holiness. It's all part of that same training of what? Of being able to be in control. And that's why, of course, right after that, if we can really do all of this, then we come to Pasuk Tazayin, Hayom Hazeh Hashem Elokecha. A Jew who's incorporated these messages, this today, such a Jew is really going to be able to keep all of Torah and all of mitzvos, v'chol levavcha v'chol nafshach. This is a Jew who's going to be a l'chadchila Jew. Right? A tikkun odom arishon type of Jew. He's not going to wait till he dies to get the filth of the nachash out of his life, but he's going to constantly be defeating the nachash to bring the geula. That's why nachash is the same gematria as Mashiach. Right? Mashiach. He's going to defeat the nachash and bring Mashiach. Okay, so it's an incredible, incredible mahalach in what's happening with Bikurim. And of course, Amalek is the nachash, so it explains the very end. The last six parsha, remember what Amalek did to you, it's the same thing. Amalek, right? Vayizaneh b'cha kol hanechashalim, that's the word nachash in it. Amalek is also the nachash. So the response, right? And Amalek was, again, they jumped the gun. They attacked us prematurely. It was a bad plan. They injured themselves in the process, but they didn't care. They didn't care. So Bikurim is about us, patience, control, self-respect, putting Hashem first, fundamentals of the Tikkun of Adam Rishon. And it really makes all the difference in the world to be able to say to your Yitzhara, you're not in charge of me. You're not in charge of me. I can wait. The rest of the tree is yours, by the way. All the rest of the produce is yours. Hashem said, I just want a little bit. I'm asking you at the beginning, a little bit of self-control. It makes all the difference in the world. Yeah.
Based on the part where we're speaking about how you bring it to the Kohen and you bring it to the Tzaddik.
Yeah, you bring it to the Rebbe.
So I think just it's a big Indian in general. Like what I like to do is I like to observe different tzaddikim and how they like do physical things, like watching like a Rebbe eat, or like watching certain people do certain avodas on the physical level, because it really shows you the pure essence of how they don't have such a taiva, or how they are able to push off certain taivas,
right?
And remember where we're really holding it.
That's right. That's the whole thing. What's the name of a tish? I have to go. Yeah. I have to go watch some old rabbi eat his kugel. Oh, I'm going to find out what the avoda of achila is. I don't know what eating is. When I eat, I'm like an animal in the field, grazing and grazing in the field. I don't want to be an animal grazing in the field. I want to be an adam who eats the kedusha. Okay.
What was the story of the Rebbe with the...
With the apple?
No.
Which one?
I'm referencing a little bit earlier when we were talking about Taiva events, what's right for us. There was a story of the Rebbe that kind of knew that the goose or something, or the duck wasn't kosher, because,
Oh, yeah. Who knows this story? Shneur, you know this story? It's a Semach Tzedek story? Who's the story about
it? Sounds similar to something
you do with Shmuel Bunkus. Oh, what's the Shmuel Bunkus story? They brought out the food. Yeah. What's the story?
It's some kind of gathering. I think it's something different, but they're at some kind of gathering, and Shmuel Bunkus was in charge of bringing some kind of roasted
right.
And delicacy. When he saw how excited everybody was, danced around and eventually dropped it. And so people accosted him afterwards, you dropped the food. And I forget exactly how it turned out, but either it literally wasn't kosher, or he saw how it affected everybody's food.
Right. No, I think that was the end. I think when he saw that there was such a taiva for it, he said that this is coming from a bad place. And then they found out afterwards that there was a shailin halach with the kashas of it. Said if a person was that excited about it, right, then there's something then it's premature. And it's premature, it's coming from the wrong place. It's coming from the wrong place.
Oh, yeah.
They say of art when Rav Chaim Volozhiner wanted to open a yeshiva, he came to the Vilna Gaon. And he was all excited to tell the Gra about his big plans. His rabbi, the Vilna Gaon. And his rabbi was, like, not responsive. He just, like, stared at him. He was, like, so excited. He was came to get, like, a big bracha, and he was all... And the Gra was just not impressed. Was not, you know? And then he came back another time to tell the Vilna Gaon like about it again. He wasn't sure like what to make of that. Like, you know, like is the Gra against it? Is my Rebbe against it? Does he not want me to do it? Does he think it's a bad idea? So he came back a second time and he started telling him about it. And the Gra was like, "Oh, it's amazing! It's going to be incredible! I'm so supportive of it. He gave him a big bracha." And, he's like, "Rebbe, I don't understand. Last time when I first had the idea and I came to you and I was all excited about it, you were like so cold to me. Like you barely acknowledged like I was talking to you." So he said, "I was nervous the first time you came. You were so enthusiastic. I was nervous that maybe the Sitra Achra was somehow involved here. You're a little bit like too ahead of yourself. You're moving a little too fast. And now that I see you cooled off a little bit and now... You waited a little bit, you had a little patience, a little self-control, you didn't eat the first fruit, the second, you know, you had the idea, but you allowed it to, and you still want to do it, now I know it's L'shem Shemayim." So they use that story to explain the Pasuk in Rus, the beginning of Rus, in Parak Aleph Pasuk Yotes, Yotches, right? It says that when Naomi is trying to decide what to do with her two, you know, her two daughter-in-law, and she's trying to figure out, she's trying to get rid of them. So it says, "Vateira kimis ametzes hi lolechas ita." When she saw that she was determined to go with her, "Vetechta ledaber ela." So then she stopped trying to convince her otherwise. In other words, what happened? At first, right, both Rus and Orpah seemed like they were interested. Like, yeah, we're going to come with you. And then Naomi like tried to like push them off a little bit. And Orpah was like, "Okay, forget it, fine, I'm not going to be Jewish." But Rus was determined, she came back a second time. She's like, "Oh, so you're not just like, you know, on a high, you've actually thought about this in a deep way. You've slowed down a little bit and you're determined." So when she saw her determination to push through it, it wasn't just an initial, you know, taiva, it wasn't just a moment, a fleeting moment of inspiration, so then she stopped trying to convince her otherwise. So there's a lot, but bein l'tov, bein l'ra, there's a lot of ways to, you know, to think about this technique that we're learning today. Pushing off the Yetzer Hara. Right? Even when a person is spiritually motivated to do something, ask yourself, "Wait, hold on, is this the right time? Am I doing it for the right reasons? Am I doing it in a healthy way?" There's a lot to, and that's the Tikkun of Adam Rishon. Okay? Okay, friends, let's pause here. Let's figure out to add one more thing.
That what I said might be not respectful.
Not respectful? Of who?